Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with your host, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. Parthenia is a psychologist and certified natural healthcare practitioner who will show you alternative paths towards health with a holistic approach. Call in with your questions or comments at 888-235-7374. And now here's the host of Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izzard.
Good morning to those of you listening to our live broadcast today, June 14, 2008, and hello to those of you listening to an internet archive within a few minutes of the show close or rebroadcast some other time. You may realize that we are now rebroadcasting Saturday programs the following Friday, following Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can look out for that, and I'm going to tell you something about a change later on. Minutes before the show closes, and that's all here on Achieve Radio. There is a link on my website. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard at Achieve Radio. To call into the program, call 888-235-7374. That's 888-235-7374. Or you can send an InQuick message. When you get to the Achieve Radio website at the top, there's something called an InQuick message, and it's like an instant message. And you can just send a message to us during the program, and I will read it on the air. To call into the program, I already gave you the number. You can also call us if you have any problems with those links at 866-472-6094. Okay, right now the shows air live Saturday mornings with rebroadcasts Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Starting Friday, July 11, 2008, shows will air live Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, with the rebroadcasts being Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. So be on the lookout for that change. I also want to let those of you who enjoyed that guitar music before our program started, I want to let you know who that was. That was Scott Hickok. And yes, he's a descendant of Wild Bill Hickok. But anyway, I think he's wonderful, and I wanted to let people know who he was. On this program, we discuss alternative medicine therapies, related products, and issues, and we do it with the experts. Only try the therapy shared here after consulting with your physician. Last Saturday, my guest was Meyer Schneider, Ph.D., LMT, author of Movement for Self-Healing, the Natural Vision Improvement Kit, and the Yoga for Your Eyes CD. We extended the interview last week, so maybe we'll get to the Urban Yasana today. If you missed that show, you can go to my website at www.amtherapies.com. Click on the Achieve Radio link to hear the show. For appointments with me and for general information, call 866-472-6094. That's 866-472-6094. And, of course, I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of you wonderful fathers out there for tomorrow. Intuitive Monique Chapman visits every second Saturday of the month, so we expect today to have her at the end of today's program with Monique's Moments. Usually she shares her intuition about world affairs and callers' concerns. Remember, you can purchase the book I co-authored, 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Health, on my site. Then visit www.amtherapies.com to make that wonderful resource a gift to yourself and or a friend. Today I'm speaking with Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disease. I'm sorry, I'm just tripping all over myself this morning. Anyway, at the end of the program, we will discuss the herb Muira Papuama and the Asana Pavrita Parsvakonasana. Now it's time for our wellness news. Anti-inflammatory effects of pomegranate in rabbits, a potential treatment in humans. Science Daily, June 12, 2008. Oral ingestion of pomegranate extract reduces the production of chemicals that cause inflammation, suggests a new study. The findings indicate that pomegranate extract may provide humans with relief of chronic inflammatory conditions. The group from the Department of Medicine of Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, led by Tariq Haki, showed that blood samples collected from rabbits fed pomegranate extract inhibited inflammation. Pomegranate extract is already used as a treatment in alternative medicine for inflammatory conditions such as arthritis. Although pomegranate extract has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory actions in experiments on isolated tissues, it is not known whether ingestion of it can produce the same anti-inflammatory effects in living systems, either because the active compounds are not absorbed from the gut or because the levels of these compounds in the blood are not high enough. Pomegranate extract, the equivalent of 175 mils of pomegranate juice, was given to rabbits orally. The levels of antioxidants were measured in blood samples obtained after drinking the pomegranate extract and compared to blood samples collected before ingestion of pomegranate extract. Plasma collected from rabbits following ingestion of pomegranate extract contained significantly higher levels of antioxidants than samples collected before ingestion of pomegranate extract. The extract also significantly reduced the activity of proteins that cause inflammation, specifically glycogenase 2. It also reduced the production of pro-inflammatory compounds produced by cells isolated from cartilage. The results of this study indicate the beneficial effects of pomegranate extract when ingested. According to Aki, quote, the use of dietary nutrients or drugs based on them as an adjunct in the treatment of chronic inflammatory conditions may benefit patients. Current treatment with anti-inflammatory drugs can have serious side effects following long-term use. Further research is needed, however, especially on the absorption of orally ingested substances into the blood, end quote. We've shared quite a bit of information about pomegranate extract or pomegranate juice in the past, so keep following up on that, folks. Okay, now, as I said earlier, our guest today is Kate McLaughlin. She frequently speaks and writes on the topics of communication, education, family issues, and mental health, committed to increasing understanding and acceptance of, along with compassion and support for, the mentally ill. She is a member of the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance on Mental Illness and the Juvenile Bipolar Research Foundation. She also participates in NAMI's family-to-family program. She lives in Arizona with her husband, Mark, and their youngest daughter, Monica. So we'll be back after the break with my guest, Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disorder.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative medicine therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Li therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when alternative medicine therapies with Parthenia Izard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com.
Or call 610-658-0135. Alternative Medicine Therapies.
Okay, we're back with Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with psychologist Parthenia Izzard. Now, remember on my site, www.amtherapies.com, you can preview and purchase a book I co-authored called 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Health. My chapter is Naturopathy. And, yes, Mark Allen enjoyed a wonderful prom last week, and we're looking forward to his graduation this week. Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disorder. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Parthenia.
And how are you this morning?
I am very well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, yes. And now, where are you?
Arizona.
Oh, how wonderful. Now,
yeah.
What is the weather like out there today?
Well, it is beautiful and bright and sunny, and it's probably going to hit 100 degrees today.
Oh, how delightful. Ours isn't going to be too far behind. I think we're going to get as high as 90 degrees, and we're out here in Pennsylvania, so isn't that interesting?
Oh, and so you get that humidity along with it.
Yes, exactly. You don't get that, correct?
No.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad that you were able to talk with us this morning. This is a topic that is very dear to me because I do have a relative who who experiences or is living with this particular challenge. But before we get into that, was there anything about your childhood or your upbringing that facilitated your ability to navigate through everything that you were navigating through?
You know, I have to tell you that I had a challenging upbringing myself, and I think I just came into the world to battle those challenges, to learn new lessons, because that was sort of my goal in college, to learn how to communicate better, to learn how to create a well and happy family. So that I sort of made it a personal goal as I was seeking my own higher education.
Okay, because, I mean, parenting just under what, quote-unquote, is called normal circumstances is challenging enough.
Yeah.
Having a child with, any type of psychological challenge takes it to a whole nother level. And then when you do it twice, you become an expert. I don't know if they told you that, but you fall in the expert category at this point. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, throughout the book, it's a very hopeful book. It's a very positive book. Despite the challenges that come along, each thing is presented in such a wonderfully positive way that you're not going to have any kind of negative feelings as you're going through it, above and beyond what the person that you're reading about is experiencing. So I wanted to make sure people realize that it is a very uplifting book. How were you, now this is sort of skipping ahead, but how did you eventually find out about the orthomolecular aspect of psychiatry? Was it a friend, or you just came across it through some readings?
It was actually a very serendipitous situation. The actress Margot Kidder had come to my hometown here to perform, and I was able to meet her afterwards, and I knew that she had a history of mental illness and was doing quite well. And I was working on some written material, and as we started chatting, she said, you know, I'd love to read it. And so she took a copy of that material and read it, and then she gave me a call a couple of weeks later and said, I want to tell you what I do, how I've managed my health. And she explained to me her very public breakdown that occurred 10 or 12 years ago in the L.A. area and what followed that and how she's managed to stay well since then. And she was using orthomolecular medication.
Okay, very good. Well, hopefully we'll have time to get back to that. But people, you'll find it, you get even a website shared at the end of the book that gives you information about, that whole aspect of things. Because, this being Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, we focus a lot on that aspect of how to deal with psychological challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, how did this title come up? Mommy, I'm Still In Here. I love this title.
Well, it's actually a quote that came, straight from one of my kids. My oldest daughter, Chloe, was in the midst of a very severe manic phase that actually sort of locked her into her body. Her hands and toes and elbows were all curled in on herself, and she was really in an extreme state of tension. And I was trying to get her from our house into the car because I knew she needed to see a doctor immediately. And I said to my husband, Mark, you know, I don't know if she can hear me. She's not responding to me. I just don't even, it's like she's not even in there. And she looked up to me just for a moment, looked straight in my eyes, and just broke through that physical bound and said, Mommy, I'm still in here, and then was pulled right back into it.
Isn't that something? Oh, well, folks, I mean, that's the kind of sensitivity and the kind of emotions that are shared in this this book, this very beautifully written book. And I'm so glad to hear where they, I mean, that's the sense you have of where the title came from. But it's nice to know the whole story. Okay, well, that said, why don't you sort of share a little bit? Well, the way the book is put out, it's sort of like a journal in the sense of you're talking about different periods in time and the things that happen. And it's not covering a lot of years. What is it, about 3 years?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Covering? Right. So why don't you sort of give us the before scenario and then the change and take us into more of what you talk about in the book. I also want to especially share the fact that not only are you giving your perspective of these events, but you're going to share the perspective of your offspring, your son and your daughter as well.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Well, you know, our life was really ideal. My husband Mark and I met in high school and dated through college, got married right after I finished college, and I started teaching school, and then we began having our children. And my kids were just wonderful little creatures. I have to say that Chloe was very sensitive. She was hypersensitive to all changes in her environment, and that might have been a clue to what was to come. But at the time, my pediatrician just thought she was a very bright child and that we just had to sort of moderate her sensory input to keep her comfortable. So it was not that big a deal. As the kids grew, they did very well in school. All three of them were very, very bright in the gifted programs, you know, excellent behavior. We didn't have any anomalous childhood behavior, so to speak. They were really good kids. And as they got into high school, that continued. So they were always on honor roll. They were in the gifted programs. They did really well. And then the summer after Chloe's junior year in high school, she was working part-time. She was coaching soccer and doing all the social things that a 17-year-old does and really busy. And I didn't really see any problem there. And later I will learn that what was going on was really quite emblematic. She was very, very busy, let's put it that way. And then when she started her senior year, she suddenly became profoundly depressed. And it was something I'd never seen before. And I have lived with depression my whole life. It's sort of one of the threads that runs through the quilt of my family fabric. And Chloe was very depressed, and it continued to get worse to the point where she couldn't get herself out of bed. And that's when I took her to the doctor, and that's when we started down the path of treating mental illness.
Okay, now for her, what was she experiencing? Did she have any feelings that something wasn't altogether correct, that she needed to talk to somebody about something? When did she start to feel something wasn't the way she wanted it to be?
The most interesting thing is we found out later, probably a year after she was first diagnosed with bipolar disorder, we found out that she had been experiencing symptoms since she was about 12 and possibly even into childhood. But but she was hearing voices at age 12, and she knew that something was wrong with her brain or her mind. But her grandmother had been mentally ill, and she was severely mentally ill and heavily sedated and medicated. And Chloe was afraid, so she never told us. And she was just so bright and so good at adapting that she hid it very well for those 5 years. Of course, I think it intensified and got worse and became impossible to hide. But after she started on the antidepressant, and I want to point out to your listeners that this is the most common occurrence in the path of diagnosis for bipolar disorder. Usually, we recognize the depression stage first because it's so obvious, and when treatment begins for that, and by treatment I usually mean an antidepressant, a pharmaceutical, it kicks the brain chemistry into the next phase, so to speak, and then the person becomes manic. And that's what happened with Chloe. So after she'd been on an antidepressant for a very short time, just a matter of weeks, that's when we had our incident where she was literally locked in her own physical self.
Well, now, your son, what was the amount of time that transpired between your daughter's first diagnosis or your first realization that there was something psychological that needed addressing, that your son presented with something that made you, also be concerned?
I would say a couple of years later. Well, okay. It was very difficult to ascertain what was in response to having someone in your immediate family with a severe mental illness and all of the literally trauma that occurs in the beginning when you're trying to get it under control. And, here we had two other kids who are younger and experienced and all that, and it was hard to sort of separate what was reaction to that and what was organic to Michael. But he was actually diagnosed again at age 17, 3 years later, although, of course, we had seen things coming. 17 is the average age of onset for bipolar disorder.
It's amazing what you're sharing, and I want to make sure that you're son and your daughter are okay with all of this. I know within the framework of what it is you're doing and how you're trying to help everybody, how do they feel about being a part of that? I mean, have they had any issues with it, or are they 100% behind your, sharing all of this? Again, national, international radio, I want to make sure that, I'm certain you do, but I just want to make sure I said it.
Absolutely. In fact, because I am a writer, I had written two other books before I tackled this project, and they were in a very different genre. And when I was working on the project, initially it was sort of therapeutic for me, and I also thought it would be good for my kids to read later to see, because there are lots of things they don't remember. And then we got to a point where I thought, boy, we could really be helping other people. There's nothing out there that's encouraging to parents and families. Every personal anecdote I read was very, very negative and it just made you feel terrible once you finished. And I really felt strongly that it would be sort of my responsibility to assure other people that it doesn't have to be that bad. And so I talked to the kids about it. I said, Wright, why don't you read some of the stuff that I've been working on and tell me what you think, and is it a problem to put it out there? And I assured them that I would never put anything out there that they didn't approve. So we did that, and Michael is really very, very open and frank, and he was like, oh, just put it all out there, Mom. People need to know, and, what happened. And Chloe was a little more cautious, and so I do use pseudonyms. Those are not my children's real names.
But, good, okay.
Yeah. So they do have, as far as the world is concerned, a certain amount of anonymity.
Very good. Okay. I think that it's also important for parents to hear, because sometimes we think when we're talking about our own experience, even though they are our offspring, we have to take into consideration we're also talking about their experience, and they on some level need to be, talked to about it. And I appreciate that you did that. That's really good. What about your husband? Is there anything you want to share for dads going through these experiences? Because they're often not present a lot for a lot of the things that are, happening, and they come back and maybe sometimes they see changes or differences. What kind of advice would you have for the fathers?
Well, I have to tell you that that's probably one of the most common questions I get, and it's very clear to me that that also is one of the issues that creates increased trauma and stress in a family where mental illness is an issue, because I think that the partner who's working full-time and not in the home with the kids as much as the primary caretaker, just like you said, they sort of feel out of the loop sometimes. And along the way, we found it was really important to make sure that both Mark and I were reading the material that was given to us. If doctors and practitioners gave us informational material, I was very very certain to make sure Mark had access to it, that he read it, that we talked about it, that his questions were answered, because it's important to be on the same page. When you have a chronic illness in a family and in your children, you know, the most common outcome of that is divorce. And, you know, the only way to waylay that is to make sure that you're always in communication. You're always talking about what's going on and what you're going to do next, and you have some sense of agreement. And fortunately, we were able to do that, but it wasn't always easy, and we hit some really tough patches along the way.
So advice, you know, the next question is relationship advice when you're going through this. First, the communication and making sure each other has the same information as it's presented, and making decisions together about what to do next. Is there anything else that might be helpful to somebody?
You know, we had to work hard at making sure that we didn't judge one another. We had to work
blame each other
at being patient with where in the stage of acceptance one or the other was. And there were times when we were not at the same place, and those were the hard times. And we really had to work hard. And I think the bottom line was we were committed to one another. We saw ourselves as a couple first, a family second, although still very important. And I think that was probably key to getting through it is, we knew that when we came out on the other side of this experience, we were still going to be partners, so we better make sure that we still liked each other.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. I hope everyone's listening. This is wonderful. This is really wonderful. And then lastly, but not leastly, if you will, your third child, your youngest daughter, how did she see all of this, and what is her take at this point?
Well, Monica is now 20. And all of this began when she was 12. So it's been a long haul for her. And, you know, she's an interesting person because I think she came sort of to this world with a sense of balance, and she was a natural peacemaker, kind of a typical third child from what I gather, but a very easygoing soul. And throughout all of this, she pretty well maintained her own sense of balance and equilibrium, even though she was very young. But as her 17th birthday approached, of course, it got a little scary. And the year she was 16, we had many conversations about what if I'm going to have it too? Because once two siblings have been diagnosed, there's about a 75% chance that the other children will. And so that was a scary possibility, but very real. And, you know, at that point in time, all I could say to Monica was, well, if it is, it is. And, gosh, we know what to do now. So it's okay. We'll do it. And her, she did fine until after her her freshman year in college. And we all remember what that's like and the changes and the turmoil that you experience as an individual trying to grow up and be out there. And after her freshman year in college, she said, Mommy, I'm afraid I might have it too. And so we just had her see a doctor for several weeks. Actually, it was a psychologist, and she talked with her for several weeks. And I said, this is just going to be sort of a diagnostic period, Monica. Just go, talk, delve into this stuff, and see what they say. And at the end of those few weeks, they said, you know, you're a perfectly normal, very busy college student, and these are things that just happen in life. And what you've experienced in your family life, you know, it was a lot. And so now you're sort of dealing with it all, and good for you. So she came away feeling pretty confident that she was healthy and well, and also with a set of tools to enable her to keep an eye on herself so that if things did start to happen, she knew what they were.
Very good. There is also a rule of thumb that if you're able to sit down and rationally ask the question, you usually don't have anything to be concerned with. But it depends, especially when people are extremely intelligent, that ability to sit down and have that intellectual conversation with your parent or with your, you know, somebody else is often easier to do than would be the case with someone else. But very good. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, you have a very good look at all aspects of what can happen in the family, you know, what the family dynamics are with regards to bipolar or the presence or presentation of bipolar disease. Very good. Okay, what would you say for educators. Now, we're about to go to break, so you're going to have a little bit of time to really talk about this. What advice can you give teachers, people who are administrators in school systems, people who see your children, see our children for six hours a day for the bulk of the day? What kinds of things can they start to tap into? And think about that, Kate, for us, and then when we get back, we'll get into it, okay?
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. I want you to make sure you look at my internet mall on my website. You can purchase all kinds of wonderful products at very low rates. Check regularly as I change the products often. Again, Nature Sunshine products are also available. And we'll be back with my guest, Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disorder.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like Iridology, Kinesiology, Reflexology, Energy Medicine, which includes Qi Light Therapy, Acupressure, and Psychological Consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com.
Or call 610-658-0135. Alternative Medicine Therapies.
You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. My guest next week, June 21, 2008, will be Addie Johnson, author of Life is Sweet, 333 Ways to Look on the Bright Side and Find the Happiness in Front of You. And at the end of that program, we will discuss the herb Mulin and the Asana Pavrita Artha Chandrasana. We are back with Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disorder. If you have questions of my guest, call 888-235-7374. That's 888-235-7374. Okay, Kate, what advice do you have for our educators and administrators in the education system?
I'm really glad you asked that, because I actually spent 12 years as a teacher in both California and Arizona, so I really have looked at this from both sides of the coin. I spent a lot of time now talking with parents and counselors in high schools mostly, but also middle schools, and some of the things I tell them to watch for are things that can indicate lots of problems in kids, but when children suddenly have a change in their social circle, when they begin having difficulties with their peers, either confrontational, argumentative kinds of situations, or even when they just start to isolate themselves, pull away, and become loners in the classroom. If there's a sudden change in their academic performance, either they're hyper-intense and anxious, and it has to be right, and sort of that typical type A behavior when it didn't exist before, or the opposite, when they suddenly become disinterested and unconcerned about the outcome of their academic efforts. Those things are all indicators that there's a real shift going on inside that young person, and you need to have a look at it. Irritability is a big one, because in younger people, that's sometimes the first thing that manifests. And that makes sense, because there's a lot of change and turmoil going on in the chemistry and the mind and the electricity of the body, and that comes out as an irritable behavior. Also, it's important for people to be aware of self-injurious behaviors, and you often see these in girls, but boys do it too. Cutting is one of the things that girls are most commonly known to do. They cut their arms, they cut their inner thighs, so if suddenly you're seeing wounds that look self-inflicted, or kids change their dress to cover up parts of their body. So if you never ever see a forearm and the weather gets hot and you still don't, there's something to think about. Boys usually burn themselves with cigarettes or hit walls. They often have bruised or broken skin on their knuckles and hands. If you start seeing patterns of those things in the same child, you see it over and over again, then you know something's gone wrong and you need to address it. And in most school settings, teachers are discouraged from approaching families directly. They're usually encouraged to go to the counselor or the administrator, share what they've observed, and often are asked to document before they approach the families so that they're coming to the families with information, not just conjecture.
Also, a lot of times, once a child is diagnosed, educators are never brought into the loop. They're usually not told that a child has a specific diagnosis. And I know they're doing that to protect the privacy of the child, but sometimes something should be shared so that the teacher, I guess, can be more helpful or be more of a team player in the situation. Anything else? What about principals and just school districts in general? Anything that they should incorporate in their system, or any types of resources you think might be helpful?
Well, one of the things I think that needs to change, and it addresses what you said just a moment ago, that we don't often tell teachers and other support people, and the reason we don't is the shame and stigma that is still attached to mental illness. And I try to tell people, listen, this is an organic illness. It is as biological as diabetes. It is biological as kidney disease, as MS, as muscular dystrophy. Those things all come from a genetic root. That is the case, too, with bipolar disorder, deep depression, and schizophrenia, the three major mental illnesses. They're caused by a genetic anomaly. And so we need to start addressing them as that. This is a medical condition. It's not something that happened because of poor parenting or necessarily drug use or, you know, all the things that we like to say and blame. If we start removing the stigma, we start inculcating our society with information, with facts, we just start busting the myths, then I think people are going to be very comfortable saying, yeah, this is the diagnosis, this is how we're treating it, this is what you might see in your classroom, this is what you can do if you do, and this is how I can help you. One thing leads to the next, and then you get total wellness. Then you get the whole community, the whole village, in Hillary Rodham Clinton's vernacular, supporting that child in the best way possible. And we were lucky that we had some teachers and administrators who were very helpful and willing to be flexible, and that was important. We also ran into those that sort of dug their heels in and said, no, this is how we do things, and we're not going to do it differently. And in those cases, as a parent, I had to become pretty proactive, and I had to say, listen, I know my rights. I know my child's rights. I know this is difficult for all of us, and I'm not saying it's easy for you, but we have the right to insist on this. And I think, you know, as long as you do it with respect and honesty and share information every step along the way, you know, we all come away better informed and better able to do our jobs.
Wonderful. Okay, we have a caller on the line, Lewis from New York. Good morning, Lewis. Do you have a question of our guest?
Good morning. Yes, I do. Yes, could you ask Ms. McLaughlin, Ms. McLaughlin, do you know of an alternative medication that is more natural to deal with bipolar disorder than lithium?
Well,
there are options available, and I have to tell you that for some people they work beautifully, and for other people they're not as effective as pharmaceuticals, and you really have to work with your own medical team to figure that out. If you want to do a search online, you can look up ortho molecular medicine, and there are several clinics and facilities in the country that do purely that kind of treatment, and it works very well for some people. It was not effective for one of my children at all, but it was somewhat effective for the other. So every body is different, and because this is a chemical imbalance and a genetic problem in the body, you know, you do have to look at lots of different ways. But I can tell you several things right off the top that make a huge difference for anybody with a bipolar diagnosis. First of all, you need to stay away from drugs and alcohol because they change your body chemistry, and that's a big part of the problem. You also should avoid caffeine because caffeine is a stimulant, and in a bipolar brain, it actually modifies itself. It's more profound, its effect is. Sleep is really important, and so that's one of the most natural approaches. Make sure you're getting proper, consistent, appropriate sleep, and be careful what you eat. Too much refined sugar also is a problem, just like it is for a diabetic. So those are all sort of first-step approaches to start feeling better. But I also want to remind you that lithium is a natural substance. It's a natural salt. And it was not created in a lab somewhere. So it's probably one of the most natural approaches to the treatment of bipolar disorder.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, Lewis. You always have very insightful questions. Okay, yes, thank you. See, I'm only a psychologist, but I try to just sit back, and I'm so glad to hear somebody else say some of these things so people realize that people who are experiencing these things are also saying that there are benefits to that orthomolecular approach to wellness. And, of course, there is the alternative mental health website. We've talked about that a lot, and Safe Harbor, and there are a lot of things out there to assist people in complementing whatever medical treatment or they are getting, or assist them in expanding that treatment however they like. Very good. Your book is broken up into, if you will, 38 sections covering that 3-year period of time, and we're running short on time at this point, of course. At the end, I hate to jump, but at the end you talk about embracing the differences. You want to share what it is you sort of say there is your solution, your realization after most of this?
Well, I think that what we all learned was, as long as we continued to fight what was our current reality, as long as we continued to say, I'm not accepting this, we want what we had back, it's futile, it's frustrating. Once we were able to say, listen, this is not the reality we thought we were going to have, but there's a whole lot of good stuff here. And we started looking for the joy. We started looking for the happiness. We started looking for the blessings and the opportunities we had within the parameters that we were now living. And suddenly, at least for me, my world flipped. It was like, wow, yeah, this is a drag, but everybody has negative stuff. And we have a pretty darn good life. We all like each other. You know, Mark and I are still married. We have fun when we're together. We have really rough patches, but we know how to get through them, and we know that we can. So our experience was just loaded with opportunities to learn and to love and to find a sense of peace and acceptance that I think many people search for their whole lives. And we sort of got to take the condensed version of the lesson, so we were very lucky.
Okay, hold on. We're at our next break. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. We will be back with Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disorder. Before we totally go, Kate, think about your final words of wisdom, because I am going to ask you for that at the end of the whole interview. I'm giving you a little heads up there. But again, we'll be back with Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still In Here.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like Iridology, Kinesiology, Reflexology, Energy Medicine, which includes Qi Lai Therapy, Acupressure, and Psychological Consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com.
Or call 610-658-0135. alternative medicine therapies.
You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. Remember my book, 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Health. Purchase it on my site. And William Penn's Mark Allen is getting ready to graduate on Wednesday. We'll tell you where he's going to college eventually. We are back with Kate McLaughlin, author of Mommy, I'm Still in Here, One Family's Journey with Bipolar Disorder. Now, one thing I want to make sure we touch on is mental illness and the legal system. Is there any type of resource or advice you can share that would assist people? I know New York State, for example, has a mental health component to its judicial system, such as it is. It's not perfect, but at least they have something in place. What suggestion do you have in that regard?
Well, I want to say that, you know, New York was one of the first that started to address that need in the judicial system, and many other states are following, and I'm hoping that that is a trend that continues. It's really important if you have a loved one with a mental illness that you understand their rights and that you understand what you can do to assure that they enter that track. So you have to be aware, you have to have knowledge, you have to investigate ahead of time in case that possibility occurs. There is an online resource, and there are some things about this particular group that I don't completely agree with. It's called Treatment Advocacy Center, and some of their approaches I think are a little harsh. One thing on their website that I find very helpful, however, is they have a state-by-state resource guide of lawyers and public defenders and legal rights consultants for people specifically involved in the judicial system with a mental illness. So I think that that in itself is a really valuable tool. So it's Treatment Advocacy Center, and you can look under their legal issues area of their website. I think that's a great resource. The other thing is it's really important to offer enough support so that your loved one doesn't end up in the judicial system, because that sort of has become the warehouse for mental health people. It's really a problem.
Well, now, before I let you go also, I need for you to give us your website if you have one and any contact information that you might want to share at this point.
I would love to do that. I do have a website. It's www.katemclaughlin.net. That's Kate, MCLAUGHLIN.net. I always tell people it has the word laugh in the middle. That makes it easy. And I encourage people to come there because I really see this as sort of my role in the world. And I get the RSS feeds from all the mental health agencies pretty much across the world. And anything that new that pops up each day, I bring out in my website on my blog page. So there's always new information and some anecdotal things, and every once in a while I just act like a mom. But I think it's really helpful.
Give that website again, please. Do it again.
www.katemclaughlin.net.
Okay.
And I also have contact information, so if people have a specific need, they can email me through my website, and I can usually refer them to the support system that's nearby.
Okay, you want to give that email address and, if possible, a phone number, because there's some people, you know, that still aren't altogether Internet savvy above and beyond listening to our wonderful program.
You bet, you bet. My email address is pretty easy. It's kate@katemclaughlin.net. So that's easy. And a direct phone to me is 520-331-8429.
Excellent.
And
okay.
I'm happy to talk to people, and usually I can lead them in the right direction.
That's wonderful. Okay, so I got the legal system in there, which I wanted to make sure I put. Now, is there any other item I didn't touch on that you really were burning to share?
You know, I have to say that I think it's important for anybody dealing with any sort of medical trauma in their life to take good care of themselves so you can take good care of the people that you're in charge of. And one of the things that's been my saving grace has actually been a very regular yoga practice. And it sort of addresses mind, body, and spirit, and it keeps me strong, flexible, healthy in all those areas. And Well, I encourage people to find something, whether it's yoga or running or going to the gym or ballet or whatever it is for you that's got a physical component that allows you to release stress and stay healthy.
Okay, then, and your final words of wisdom, unless that's what you wanted it to be?
No, you know, my final words of wisdom are no matter how challenging your situation is, you can find your way through it. You can find joy and happiness, and that's the goal. That's what we're here to do.
Oh, my goodness. Very good. Okay, well, Kate, thank you so much for sharing your morning with us today. And good luck with everything, and best of luck with your son, daughter, and your son and both of your daughters.
Thank you, Parthenia.
Okay, you take care.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Okay, you too. Okay, now it's time for our herb of the day. Yes, we finally got to it, and Bill is so caught off guard. The herb is Muira Puama. Parts used are the bark and roots. Phytochemicals include beta-cystosterol, campesterol, and lupiol. According to Balk and Balk, it helps to relieve pain, acts as a mild laxative and detoxifier, and supports the heart. Has a general tonic effect and balances sex hormones. Beneficial in treating nervous system disorders, impotence, depression, stress, rheumatism, asthma, and menopausal and menstrual problems. They caution that it is alcohol-based, or they comment that it's alcohol-based. It's believed to be the best form of that rainforest herb. And its active constituents are neither water-soluble nor broken down in the digestive process. Okay, and our asana for today. Parvrita Parsvakonasana. Yes, you stand in Tadasana. You inhale and jump the legs 4 to 4.5 feet apart. Arms stretched sideways. Turn the left leg and foot about 60 degrees in and the right leg about 90 degrees out. Line up the feet. Extend the trunk up. Turn the left hip well in. Bend the right leg to a right angle and turn the trunk to face the right leg. Keep the coccyx facing directly back and the middle of the pubis and sternum facing directly ahead. Keep the outer edge of the left heel down on the floor. With an exhalation, turn and bend the left side of the body toward the right leg. Bend the left arm and place it against the right outer knee with the forearm and hand stretched. Place the right hand on the right hip and tuck the hip in toward the coccyx to keep the coccyx centered. Press the left upper arm against the thigh to bring the left side of the chest to the right. Squeeze the abdomen up and away from the right thigh. Extend the front of the body from the pubis to the head. Revolve the right side of the trunk up and back. And, of course, that's a call according to B.K. Iyengar. Okay, very good. Now, there's so much that may be changing down the road that I have to share with you. Right now, as I said earlier, the shows air live Saturday mornings with rebroadcasts Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So this show will run again next Friday at 8 p.m. Starting Friday, July 11, 2008, shows will air live Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, and rebroadcasts will occur Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern. So be on the lookout for that, and we'll keep reminding you. You have been listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard at Achieve Radio. My guest next week, June 21, 2008, will be Addie Johnson, author of Life is Sweet, 333 Ways to Look on the Bright Side and Find the Happiness in Front of You. At the end of that program, we will discuss the herb Mulin and the asana Parvrita Artha Chandrasana. Use the link on my website to listen to the program on your computer, iPod, or cell phone Saturdays at this point at 9 a.m. And remember, second Saturdays, we're going to try to get Monique in here again on July 12th with her intuition about world affairs and callers' issues. There's a link for advertising on the program on my site. You can send emails and resumes or recordings to consult at amtherapies.com. We offer the public iridology and kinesiology assessments, consultations in nutrition, meditation, acupressure, and psychosocial consultations. Our website, www.amtherapies.com. Oh, yes, we're anxiously waiting to find out where Mark is going to go to college in September and graduating, we know, on Wednesday. Wellness, wholeness, and wisdom. Be well.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like Iridology, Kinesiology, Reflexology, Energy Medicine, which includes Qi Light Therapy, Acupressure, and Psychological Consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with Parthenia Izard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com.
Or call 610-658-0135. Alternative Medicine Therapies.